money, you know, going against Calais each and every day, you know. His leadership and his experience, you know, he sits next to me in the locker. I talk to him every day. Just getting his feedback of how, or what do you think I did today, or what do you think I need to do or improve on, it means a lot to me.
Hacker After Dark on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Those are the thoughts of rookie Jaguar running back Leonard Fournette. The Jaguars wrapped up minicamp today. With OTAs in the books, with minicamp in the books, the off-season workout program in the books, to me the off-season is now essentially over, and training camp is the next thing on the schedule in a little over a month's time. It is Hacker After Dark on a Thursday night here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. My buddy Mike DiRocco, D-Rock, ESPN.com, joins us as he always does. D-Rock, thank you for joining us at this late hour tonight, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys tonight?
We are wonderful. And look, as a guy like you that was at every OTA, at every mini camp, obviously you were there for the draft and free agency. Was it kind of like the last day of school for you today, D-Rock, now that you get, you know, a 5 or 6 week break before it really heats up in late July?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the best way to look at it. And it was kind of funny because, like, we did a press conference with Doug Marrone right after practice. We got Leonard Fournette first, and then Doug Marrone. And right after that, you know, we're walking upstairs to get the assistant coaches. Well, you know, players were already heading out. I mean, they were already walking, you know, out of the facility, all changed and showered and, you know, heading to the parking lot to get out of there. So it did kind of have that last day of school feel.
You know, Mike, and we'll talk specific players here in a moment, but an overview from what you've seen. All the OTAs, the 3 days of minicamp, everything that's gone on with the off-season workout program. If you're Doug Marrone, if you're Tom Coughlin, if you're Dave Caldwell, are you pleased with the work that was put in over the last 2 months?
Yeah, I guess you are. I mean, you like what you've seen out of probably guys like Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee. I think they were probably their two best offensive players. You like, you know, when they did have Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye on the field at the same time, you know, you like the development, I guess, from Miles Jack and what you've seen from him. I mean, obviously struggled a lot early, but then apparently, you know, really came on at the end. But, you know, your two biggest question marks, or really your three biggest question marks, you still have no idea about. You don't know for sure what Bortles is going to be like. Certainly don't know anything really about that offensive line. And you don't know if you're going to really be able to rush the passer off the edge either. You know, we won't know any of that stuff until, you know, they get into the preseason and they're in full pads and they're working against the Patriots and they're working against the Bucks in those joint practices. But, I mean, I guess the things that you could feel or wanted to feel good about, if you're those guys, you probably do.
Hey, Mike, a lot of guys spoke today. You mentioned Leonard Fournette, Doug Marrone. Both coordinators met the media, and the special teams coordinator, Joe DeCamillis. Just to highlight a couple of thoughts from you from who spoke today.
Well, you know, the thing that sticks out to me the most is when we were talking with Todd Wash, defense coordinator, it's interesting. They're going to still kind of play single high safety, but they're going to be so much more flexible in what they're able to do. You know, Wash was talking about, you know, there may be plays where those safeties are down playing in sort of a corner role and the corners are back up to kind of give the corners a little bit of a break, you know, in terms of the physicalness of you know, maybe having to make some plays in the run game. There's going to be times when you know, the two corners are playing safety. You know, so they've got a lot more flexibility to mix things around. You know, that to me was probably the most interesting thing, and you know, Nate Hack is talking about Bortles and what, you know, he's got, you know, giving him a to-do list like he does every, you know, every day of what he wants him to kind of get done going out to California to work with his throwing coaches, you know, and a lot of the stuff was, you know, kind of the stuff that you expect to, you know, to hear, you know, about, you know, they want to be better on special teams, they feel like they may have found a couple of core guys there. They feel like the special teams will be, they don't have to necessarily be a strength, but they don't have to kill them like they did last year. And the increased emphasis on the unit is something that they're certainly, you know, excited about. You know, it's, it's so hard because, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about this team overall, because you can't tell a whole ton in these OTAs and the mini camp. And, you know, I understand everyone's excited and, you know, getting, you know, enthusiastic about the upcoming season. But the bottom line is this a 3-13 team? They've got a lot of issues, and, you know, it's going to take a while before this team is really ready to compete.
Mike DiRocco, ESPN.com, with us here on Hacker After Dark, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. D-Rock, we have all spent way too much time talking about the offensive line, but it was one of the big stories of the offseason.
Right.
Brandon Albert obviously was in over the last couple of days. Your impressions of Brandon Albert. And at the end of the day, Mike, regardless of what positions, is it your opinion that at some point Albert, Robinson, Linder, Can, Parnell, again, some positions may be interchangeable, but those are going to be the five guys come opening day against Houston?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Because if you don't have Robinson on the field somewhere, that's a bad pick. And the bottom line is whether it's left guard, left tackle, or right tackle, he needs to be on the field. And as for Albert, you know, he wasn't in shape. There's a difference between football shape, as we all know, and regular shape. And, you know, he came out here and trying to learn the system and trying to assimilate, you know, into everything they're doing. And he just wasn't, he was just a step behind. And that's to be expected. But again, like, before everyone loses their mind, I just remember all that other stuff that he had was, that he missed was voluntary. He didn't have to be here. So let's, you know, we don't have to rehash all that again. But, you know, I think by the time, and he's a pro, and he mentioned it the other day, and Doug Marone mentioned it too as well, that while they do make some progress here, the bottom line is what matters in July, August, September, October matters significantly more than what happens in May and June. So, you know, Albert knows how to get himself in shape. He knows how to, I mean, he's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's been a 10-year veteran in this league. This is not his first rodeo. He'll be fine and ready to go when they come back for training camp and the preseason.
You know, for the most part, the Jaguars have been able to sign all of their draft picks. Only one remains. Dewan Smoot has not signed his rookie contract yet. Anything there? Do you know when they expect to have him signed?
Obviously, I don't want this to sound stupid, but before camp, I mean, there's not necessarily a rush on this. There's not going to be a holdout type of deal. If I remember correctly, the third round pick, I want to say AJ Can a couple years ago, was actually in pretty quick. But Yannick Ngakoue, I want to say last year, took a little bit more time as well. I don't anticipate it being an issue. I would be very surprised if, you know, by July 8th, we don't have some sort of release from the Jaguars that Ngakoue is signed.
You know, Mike, there doesn't appear to be a whole lot of position battles shaping up going into training camp. I remember last year, all the talk was Beecham or Jokel or Beecham at left tackle, and you had a couple other position battles that were really going to be fought over. You look at every starting position on this team, and save maybe some issues on the offensive line, and that's a maybe, as we just talked about, I don't really see one position battle that's legitimately up for grabs. Am I wrong about that?
No, and depending on how you look at that, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. Because essentially what we're saying is, okay, there's not going to be any position battles off the 3-13 team, that most of the guys from the 3-13 team are still going to hold on to their starting jobs. So when you kind of look at it that way, you go, well, wait a minute, maybe there needs to be a little bit more competition here. And I know you can't bring, you know, a ton of competition in every year, either draft and free agency, the salary cap, you know, just the way the league works doesn't allow you to do that. But, you know, as you were saying that, I'm flipping through every position in my head going, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of competition for, you know, the number two spots at those positions. You know, like, it's a three technique. Is it Mike Bennett or is it Sheldon Day? You know, which of the second group of safeties is going to be the guys that are going to be the guys that play behind Gibson and Church? So, From depth standpoint, yeah, there's some more competition, but from the frontline starting guys, yeah, not a lot. It's relatively uneventful.
What about the only one I could think of? What about tight end? They brought in Rivera from Oakland. I know they like Koyak. Obviously, Mercedes is in the fold. Could that be a position battle there, Mike?
No, I think Mercedes can start. They want to run the football, Pat, and Mercedes is their best blocking tight end, not even close to anybody else. So I would be very surprised if Mercedes isn't starting at that position. That being said, again, the spots behind him are interesting because, you know, Rivera has obviously done it in this league. His numbers have diminished the last several years, but he's done it, been productive. And then after that, it's Koyak and Sterling, and Sterling's been banged up all of those days in minicamp, and it's a bad sign for guys when Malone is talking about, you know, coachability and availability. Well, you look at some of these guys that didn't participate throughout OTAs and minicamp, like a T.J. Yeldon. Sterling was in and out. A guy like an Aaron Colvin, he's probably in a different position because there really isn't anybody after him in terms of solid cornerbacks. But, you know, guys like Sterling and Yeldon, look, they got to get on the field. Now, could they have probably gone for some of these? Yeah. But, you know, if you're Shanil Sterling, you're probably facing an uphill battle at this point. So you better make sure that you're able to be healthy by the time camp starts.
You know, Mike, Coach Marone is not one of the guys that's really going to heap a ton of praise on guys. We know that from just knowing him for the last couple of years and certainly now as the head coach. But one guy that he really has praised is Calais Campbell. You know, he said he's been very fortunate to be around a lot of unbelievable players, and Coach Marone said that Calais Campbell's right there with those guys. What kind of an impact already has Calais Campbell made on this team?
Well, a lot of times, you know, guys show up and you expect them to be leaders, and sometimes it does take a little bit of a while because you're coming into a locker room, you're the new guy, you don't know any of these other guys, but and sometimes that leadership, it can be a little bit forced. But he has stepped in, and people gravitate towards him. He has instantly become their top leader, offense, defense. I mean, it's not even close. Guys are coming to him to talk to him about other than football stuff. I mean, look, I don't think it's any coincidence, no matter what they say. Yeah, we put names and drew that out of a hat. Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. Calais Campbell's locker is right next to Leonard Fournette's locker. Leonard Fournette is talking today about how Campbell has been phenomenal for him and telling him, you know, talking to him every day, trying to give him, encouragement, trying to make sure he knows what he's doing. That's not a mistake. You're putting a guy like Calais Campbell next to probably the second most important guy on your franchise behind, you know, your quarterback right now. That's anything a young player couldn't ask for anything better. It's been a really, really good signing for the Jaguars and probably worth a ton of money, even though he hasn't played a single snap yet, just because of that. And, you know, I expect him to be a guy that, you know, is somebody that's going to mentor not only the young pass rushers, not only Leonard Fournette, but a guy like a Miles Jack. You know, a guy like a Jalen Ramsey and an A.J. Boyer. I mean, everybody comes to him, and it's really great to have that guy in your locker room if you're the Jaguars. That's sort of what they wanted and haven't been able to have in that locker room the last several years.
Final moments here with Mike DiRocco, ESPN.com, here with us on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. You know, Mike, sometimes we take for granted, you know, the fact that we see OTAs and mini camps and we're around the guys at the draft and the off-season workouts and whatnot. The fan base, unlike in years past, has not seen these guys since January 1st when they lost to Indy to end the 2016 season. So when we convene for training camp at the end of July, if you're talking to the Jaguar fans right now, what are they going to see that's different, Mike, from what they've seen in years past to what they will see come training camp 2017?
Are you talking like personnel-wise?
Yeah, just
drill,
you know,
drill-wise
the way Doug Marone does practice, personnel-wise, whatever you feel is different now from the way it has been.
Yeah, okay, well, not as much music, and certainly not at that volume. I think it's probably the number one thing they'll remember. It's interesting because I've seen them in the OTAs do a bunch of drills that I hadn't seen them do over the last 4 years, whether it's some special teams drills where guys are diving on a pad to knock down a ball that's being flipped up to practice blocking punts and kicks.
Yeah, I saw that today. That kind of caught my eye, too.
Yeah, and you know, they've done some drills. The quarterbacks, you know, most other teams do this. I hadn't seen the Jags do it very often at all, where they have those target nets and they're throwing at the target nets. And they've got one where they can work on throwing fades in the corner of the end zone. There's an interesting directional, it's a little bit boring, I'm sure, but a directional punting drill that Brad Norman was doing with a long rope laid out in front of him on the line on the turf. You know, it's just a lot of little stuff like that. A lot of the offensive line drills that they're doing, they seem to be doing a lot more sled work than they had in the past. So it's a lot different, you know, but in terms of the tempo of the practice, it's pretty much the same in terms of, you know, the periods and, you know, the team drills and stuff. It's pretty standard stuff. But, you know, I think the one thing that has struck me, and you've been around, when you cover football, you're around a lot of big guys. Okay. But there hasn't been a guy like Calais Campbell I've ever been around before.
I referred to him as Andre the Giant earlier.
He is a monster human being. It's hard to explain. You look at it and you go 6'8", 300. Well, yeah, of course he's big, but you kind of have to see him. I mean, he's out there and Dante Fowler walks up next to him, and Fowler's not a little kid, okay? But he looks like a little junior high school kid standing next to Calais Campbell. It's unbelievable. That is a massive, massive man with these huge long arms, and I'm interested to see how the Jaguars use him, especially on special teams, in terms of maybe being in the middle there to try and block the field goals and stuff. But he just stands out to me. No matter where he is on the field, no matter what drill they're doing, he just seems to stand out, A, because of his play, but also because of his size. So I think fans will probably get their first look at Calais Campbell and go, whoa, that's a man right there.
You know, Mike, final question for me. You know, the transition from Gus Bradley to Doug Marrone has really been a total 180 in terms of the approach and really the tone of what comes from Coach Marrone. Today, I think we said goodbye to one of the final pieces of the Gus Bradley era. We've abolished the Leo term, haven't we?
Yeah, no Leo, no Otto. That's not being used anymore. Todd Wash was pretty emphatic about that, and I asked him, you know, well, what if we come up with some good names, can we rename them? And he was like, no, that's not gonna happen. But yeah, that's, you know, it's different what they're asking their strong side linebacker to do now than they did what they asked the Otto to do. And Walsh made a great point. We have a defensive end and we have a big end. So they're defensive ends. Let's just call them defensive ends. So I think fans are going to love not hearing Leo and Otto. I'm going to love it just from the standpoint of every time I use that thing in copy, you had to explain what the heck it was. So that's going to save me a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if someone in Spokane is reading a story and they're like, what the heck is the Otto? You got to explain that. So hopefully that'll save me a little bit of time throughout the entire season.
Hey, Mike, leave us with this. We know the players are going to enjoy this time off. What about the ESPN.com writers? What are you going to do over the next 5 weeks before the grind starts in late July?
Well, honestly, in the next couple of weeks, I've got some stuff to do, you know, based on the assistant coach availabilities and stuff. I've got, you know, a few stories going here and there. Got to get my training camp preview work done. But then, you know, once July hits, I'm taking some time off, and my wife and I are heading up to New England for a while, you know, celebrate our 25th anniversary together. So we're going to have a fantastic vacation and get back, hopefully recharged and ready to go for what should be a pretty interesting season.
You know, Gibson, D-Rock was telling me today, Yankees, Red Sox at Fenway.
Ah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so jealous, Mike. So
awesome,
jealous.
Man.
Yeah, I think it's the first game. I think it's the first game back after the All-Star break. So I'm hoping that means Chris Sale will be on the mound. So I'll send you a couple of photos from there if I'm standing out there or if we're sitting there in sail pitch.
Well, that'll be perfect. Hey, D-Rock, thank you for staying up with us tonight, my friend. We'll do it again when training camp starts.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Mike DiRocco, ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN DiRocco.